Welcome to the Bangtan Epiphany, episode 57. This week we are going back in time to witness the beginning of the Red Bullet Tour. We were inspired by an amazing docuseries on YouTube. So let's travel back to 2014 and experience BTS's first concert.
Okay, this, new YouTube series, The Rise of Bangtan. Dude, it's been so good.
Yeah, it's an amazing, BTS documentary made by ARMY.
Made by ARMY. Really well made. The time that they put into editing this is no joke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're using clips from everything and they're putting everything into context. They're really doing this documentary for a Western audience or for a non-Korean audience, I guess I would say, that isn't familiar with K-pop and the idol system. Or maybe you're a little bit familiar, but they're trying to show a lot of contextualizing stuff. So they're telling the story of BTS and then they're also talking about what it means to be an idol and what idols do and the difficulties they face and what it means to be from a small company versus a large company. But it's all focused on BTS, and then it's a really thorough storytelling about their journey. I mean, we've watched 6 episodes so far. Each episode's about half an hour. And we just got to Red Bullet.
Yeah. That's the thing that made it special for us. We were usually they kind of jump ahead.
Yeah.
So it's let's just jump ahead to Map of the Soul or something. But it's really cool to watch this series. Each one's about 30 minutes long and just really sit with either a single comeback or this snapshot in time with BTS.
Yeah, and really talking about the early days one step at a time. So the first episode is all pre-debut and sort of contextualizing how BTS was formed. And one episode is just on American Hustle Life and them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling the story very slowly and carefully. And it's bringing in other documentaries, other journalism, other stories from idols about what it means to even be an idol, what being a trainee is like, what being an idol is like, how hard they work. And it's just kind of bringing in stuff that people have said more recently about the past and about how BTS was formed. So it really feels like this. It's filling in so many gaps in my knowledge.
Yeah. That's true, because whenever we're you were saying, the old days stuff is kind of hard to find. You kind of get it bit by bit or piecemeal.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool. It's we don't have to go be archaeologists or whatever and,
right.
And dig in the... The sands of time.
BTS anthropologist. I mean, I love being a BTS anthropologist.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
fine with that.
Yeah.
But I definitely know that I didn't do a very good job because this documentary is filling in so many gaps for me.
Yeah, and it's nice to know there's other anthropologists out there.
That are so much better at it.
Yeah. Put the work in.
Their skills, man. Whoever is making this documentary, they are amazing. They are so amazing. I tried to make a YouTube video once and man, that's hard. Editing a podcast is hard. Editing video and audio and splicing things together is hard. It's so time consuming. And these are, this is like a massive production.
Yeah, yeah, that's for real. But with that being said, look forward to our YouTube channel coming in 2020X.
2020X, right? I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to have like something to say and be talented and stuff. I don't know. People who
that's rough coming amazing. From a podcaster. Like
I have stuff to say, but stuff to say like in video audio form. Like,
yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah. It's a different way of telling a story or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And man, I've just been like blown away by the quality of this. And just how much knowledge it's giving me. So we were like really inspired. We started watching the first 6 episodes and we're still only up to Red Bullet.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how slow it's going, which is amazing. So we decided to watch Red Bullet again.
Yeah.
Just because like we'd gotten so into the story of early baby BTS that we wanted to re-experience Red Bullet. Oh my gosh. Well, re-experience it. I mean, we saw it on Bang Bang Con.
Well, that's
live.
The thing.
Like,
we
that
saw
was
it,
the first time.
We
or
saw
Bang
it
Bang
on
Con.
Bang Bang Con, but it was at like maybe 2 or 3 a.m. or something. So.
I think I'm the only one who watched it. You and Audra, like both, like
but
were out.
It was
by
like
then.
A fever dream for you. So
it was a fever dream for me. It was like, wasn't it like the third concert or something? And it was like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Oh man. It was at a really bad time for me, so I was, like, so out of it. So when I watched it again, it felt like I'd never seen it. I'm like, oh, is this what happened? I don't remember this at all. Which was great because it felt like such a new experience to watch it again,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's kind of surreal. Okay. Let's be real. It is weird watching them as babies.
Sure, sure.
Especially the ones that look so much like babies. I mean, Jungkook is an infant.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, is he allowed to be out this late? I don't know. He looks so young.
No, but that's one of my favorite parts in Red Bullet is when Jungkook's like, I'm a bad boy, so I like bad girls. And that's just amazing.
With his little baby face. Oh my God. Fluffy Tay. I could not get over it. I cannot get over it. In the Red Bullet we watched like Night 3 in Seoul, right? It's Tay and he has this, I think his hair was gray and it's almost like this grayish blonde. And it's super fluffy. And he's just got this, his tiny baby face with this huge fluffy hair. He looks like a teddy bear. And it's, oh my God. It's so cute. I die. I'm like getting really into the performance and I'm grooving along. And then I see Tay and I just die. I can't handle how cute he is. Oh my God. It's really fun. Man, we have a lot to say about it, I think. We'll talk about it thoroughly, but you know, the Tay thing, just prepare yourself.
Well, not only that, but we saw the School Love Affair.
Oh like, yeah, showcase. We watched that pretty recently, yeah.
So it's pretty cool to kind of contrast those two.
Yes. This is their first concert. Their first like actual concert.
Yeah.
You know, the showcase was step one. And this was like, okay, we're doing concerts now. I have to say it's super freaking impressive.
Oh yeah. Like that's the thing is like, they are performers. That's the first thing that stands out.
I tried to take the point of view of like a K-pop fan who is giving BTS a chance, right? BTS is new. They're real young. They're just starting out in the industry. And like if you're a K-pop fan, you go to this concert, you're giving them a try. Like, okay, what kind of band are they going to be? And I'm like, this is why they became huge. Because how could you not be completely blown away, impressed by them after seeing that performance?
Yeah, exactly. And for me, there was something real special about Red Bullet, this performance that we saw. Because we've seen a lot of concerts, like big ones, right? Wembley.
Big, huge production.
Yeah, City Field, concerts, Sao Paulo, yeah. all that stuff. And, like, so the special thing about Red Bullet is, like, it really feels almost like a hip-hop show.
Yes.
Yeah.
For me, it reminded me of all the shows that I used to go to when I was younger that were in small clubs.
Yeah.
Like, small shows. I loved small shows. I thought they were so much better than big stadium shows because they're real intimate and you have to be more, you kind of have to be creative with the stage. The stage is smaller. So it's really about the performers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's about the performance more than the production value. And what was so amazing about Red Bullet is that, like, you could feel the intensity and the, like, energy coming off of them in waves. And you can feel that just from the really poorly, really poorly recorded version. The camera work, guys, is not great. I'm just saying. The camera work improves.
They're figuring
a lot
it out. They don't have the like drones and the cranes.
No, they're not good at camera work back in this day. So the camera work has a lot that lacks, but you can still feel it. That's how powerful they are as performers. Like, they're so young and cute and you're just like dying because they're so adorable.
Yeah.
But they're like so intense that you can't not take them seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I mean, the camera work definitely didn't ruin it. Sometimes camera work does pull us out of it.
That's true. It's right on that edge where it's like, I mean, it's not so bad that you're right. It doesn't pull you out. It's like you can still enjoy it. But if you are looking for really seeing the dance, you're only going to see it like part of the time.
Well, yeah, it's more of a performance. It's really, I don't know, kind of visceral and raw and like it's got that hip hop edge.
It definitely
which
does.
Is really cool.
This style. So it's their high school story, right? Like Dark and Wild was the last high school album. So all the VCRs are like telling this kind of high school story.
Yeah.
They're like the rebellious kids in this weird post-apocalyptic classroom. Yeah. This very mean teacher who's a bit creepy. And they're like...
I mean, he just likes Fluffy Tay too, I guess, right? Like,
okay, yeah. But the VCR is just to kind of give you this, I don't know, this narrative that they're telling.
Yeah.
It's like, these are our high school emotions. And these are how we feel about it. And we're expressing, like, our feelings as teenagers. And I don't know. I actually really liked the style.
Yeah.
They did some cool things with the videos behind them and during some of the songs and just the set. Like, it's a really small stage. So there's not, like, a ton of elaborate stuff they can do, but they did a lot.
Yeah, and they still had some elevations. Like, they had stairs. And like a level two, nothing like moving platforms or flinging people around on wires or anything. But,
nothing that extensive. But, but still, like, I don't know. I thought the style, the costumes, everything, like, fit the theme really represented them with what Dark and Wild and the school trilogy was all about.
Yeah, definitely.
I it felt like a hip hop show. It felt like a, almost like an indie show, but like, I don't know, for the fact that it's an indie show, it had so much production value, even though it's a small theater and a small stage, there was a ton of production value built into it.
Oh yeah. And like some of the things like pyrotechnics and
right?
A few times.
More
I'm
surprising.
Like, I was like, those pyrotechnics feel a little close, right?
Yeah, because everything's close.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just super impressed at the level of this concert for their first concert. I thought it was really amazing.
Yeah. And like it had their streamers and confetti and I don't know, lots of fun, right? Fun elements. But really, it goes back to their performance.
BTS know how to put on a show.
Yeah.
I mean, they just do. It has... It's always, every show I've watched has had this in common. Every single concert in BTS that I've watched, it has fun moments, it has sweet moments, it has silly moments, and then it has a lot of high intensity, high energy, performances that just blow your mind. And you just, I've never seen a concert that wasn't that, that didn't have those elements.
Yeah.
There's, which is so cool because, you know, a lot of artists that I've been to concerts for in the past kind of have like two modes. Like they kind of have like a theme that they stick to. You know what I mean? Like the, it has one kind of feeling to it. So you go see a show, you see a punk show and it's just like chaotic rage. And it's like that the whole time. And there's no other tone to it. You know, it never hits another feeling. It's just the same feeling.
Yeah, but the pit is super fun.
But it's super fun for that feeling.
Yeah.
So you're just reveling in that feel. And then like other rock shows or indie shows, like I just have this, you know, you have the singer-songwriters. It's just always soft. It's always soft and sweet. And that's the feeling you get from the first second to the last second.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is like putting on a good show, right? What are some examples?
People tend to think that they're one thing, you know? And artists are like, I'm doing this one thing that I'm good at. And I love that. Like, that's amazing. I don't think that's a bad thing. It just kind of blows my mind that with BTS, I'm like watching this rap performance where I feel like they're going so hard that the stage is going to catch on fire. And then they do something adorable like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And it's sweet and adorable. And I'm like, where are my emotions?
Yeah, there was a few like moments of whiplash.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like it's the whiplash as the roller coaster makes its turn and does something completely different. And that's what I'm saying is unique to them is like they can take me on a journey which has all these different feelings to it. And it's not like out of character for them. They're able to be like adorable and then go hard and then go sad and then go like sweet and understanding and then go super, super intense. And, you know, we're whipping around this roller coaster, like barely knowing what we're feeling at any given moment, but we're going with it, man. We're loving it.
Yeah, and maybe passing out like Hobie sometimes, you know.
Oh my god. So yeah, I just love that you have so much in one show.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was possible to have like so many different like feelings in a single show until I became a fan of BTS, and now I'm just like, they've done this from the beginning. From the beginning, they've known that they can kind of go in all these different directions and still make it work.
Yeah, and I think that's. That's like the magic of K-pop, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's such an amazing genre. Idol music is so much fun because it allows itself to hit all these different emotions, feelings, different types of artistry. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what's cool is like you're getting the full range of human emotion, right? You're not limiting yourself.
You're not limited and you're just going to enjoy it in all of its different aspects. And when you have people who are writing really meaningful, personal music in this sort of extravagant roller coaster of idol music, you hit this sweet spot that is just like, it's like a religious experience, man. It's just like so intense. It's such intense level of art. Because it's full of all these really different emotions.
Yeah, yeah. It's so cool.
It's really cool. And it's super funny too watching them with like, you know, they've got the early makeup. So they got the really intense eyeliner. And they're just trying really hard to be idols. They're new at it. So there's just cuteness to it.
But they're also like hard in hip hop.
Yeah, but like when you put... I can take the rap line seriously in terms of being hard with hip hop because they've earned it.
Yeah, I get that.
But when you put hard in hip hop next to like Kim Taehyung and his fluffy hair or Jimin and his little sporty Jimin with his little cheekies. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Or Jungkook, who is like literally 17.
Who's 17 and really looks young.
Yeah.
But he's so talented. I'm not denying his talent. and how hard he works, because my God, for a kid that young, he's center for most of the songs. He's a main vocalist for most of the songs. It's like crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy how much is on his shoulders at such a young age, but he does look so young.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a trip.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like it. I like seeing early BTS because you can see them figure out who they became later. Like, this is like step one on their journey as performers.
Yeah.
And just the how good they are at that point is pretty stunning.
Yeah. And like you say, their makeup is pretty harsh, and sure it is, but
it's that really dark eyeliner, man.
Oh yeah, it's hip hop. But like, it's also like, I almost see it as kind of toned down from their like debut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when they debuted, they were like, I don't know, clad in like metal spikes and all black, and you know, so
their styling gets better and better as time goes on.
Yeah. They infuse a little bit of color.
Well, I just think that it's great that the company and them are always willing to experiment and go in different directions.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too. Like, you're right. This really felt like a hip hop concert, and it really felt like a theme. Like, I got the high school rebellion hip hop theme from it. And it seemed much more, I don't know, it doesn't have as much like range as their later stuff, right? Because yeah. It's their first like trilogy. It's their first era.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost entirely like all seven on stage. There's only a few times where they do a little split.
Yeah, yeah. No solo songs yet. No, like, not really splitting up the rap line and the vocal line.
Yeah, yeah. There's no only really like a few
strong vocal line songs yet.
Yeah.
And then the parts in the songs back in this era were much more, they weren't as equal.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you'll watch and you won't see Jimin sing for like three songs or something, except for like one little highlight. So they're not spreading out the parts as well as they do later.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that aspect of it, you can see what they improved upon. And I love that you can tell they improved on making it more equal between the members. I am so proud of them for that.
Yeah, yeah.
That is really important to me because I am super OT7 and I want each of them to shine.
Yeah, but not only that, but it's not an easy thing to do.
It isn't, especially with that group. Yeah, they're so different.
Yeah.
So you really have to be smart about how to share the stage between such different performers and singers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which they did because they are amazing. But like at this time, it's not there yet. You know, they haven't really made that one of their priorities yet. They're still trying to figure out how to do BTS songs.
So when it starts, it's really funny because they have this kind of like mock classroom on the stage.
Yeah.
But like for us, on the stream, we could barely see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was, I don't know, the stage lights were dark. And then they do their VCR, and then they come out, but they remove all the people on the stage and the desk. So it's like,
if you were in the audience.
What was that for, maybe?
No. It's, if you were in the audience,
you could see it.
You would have been able to see it, and it would have made sense. But, like, the camera work and the lighting, it's, like, it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
But they do have like backup dancers starting on the stage and and sort of mocking up this classroom because that's like the narrative that's going on.
Yeah, and I did appreciate the like announcer / teacher
kind of
saying the rules.
That was so cute. That was a really clever way to start the show.
Yeah.
Is kind of continue this like that the audience too is all in school.
Yeah, exactly.
Of this mean teacher. And then BTS come out to save them from.
Yeah, exactly. And the only thing that I found weird was I wasn't quite sure what was happening with the front of the stage because they had this like kind of screen.
Was it a screen or was it just like this kind of like almost looking like a jail cell?
Yeah, so it was like this basically like a screen kind of or cage for when they're doing no, and then like. The idea was like they kind of break out of it as they perform the song.
Yeah.
And then it raises up. So at first I'm like, what are these boxes over them? Like, because it just is like a grid.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it goes away.
Yeah. I almost thought that it was like protecting them or something.
Yeah, I was like, is
from
that
the crowd?
Well, no, that's the thing. I've seen people perform in cages, right, for bottles and whatnot. So,
what kind of clubs are you going to?
Look, yeah, I go to wild shows, man. What can I say? You're the one that was like talking about punk shows and stuff. So
I went to some punk shows in my youth.
Yeah,
they were interesting. Punk doesn't age well. It really does not age well.
Also, punks don't age well.
Punks don't age well either.
But that's its own thing.
I created a Patreon because I wanted to make like my own crafty, merchy, like stuff, you know, like bracelets and postcards and bookmarks and photo cards. So you can find us on Patreon, The Bangtan Epiphany. And we'll have some sweet merch to send back to you, unofficial crafty merch. So if you did want to support us, amazing. This is just Emily making you something out of love, out of our mutual love for BTS. Byron wants you to know to come say hi to him on Twitter at BTS Epiphany Pod. Is that right, Byron? Yeah. And he says, support the show on Patreon, The Bangtan Epiphany on Patreon. And thank you for supporting our show. Thanks, guys. Okay, so I just need to talk about something now.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I need to talk about Kim Namjoon.
Oh, yeah. The leader.
Damn.
Right?
Damn. Like, damn. Oh, my God. This guy. He's like, what, 20, 21 at this point. His confidence when he's on the stage is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, the thing is I expected all of them to be a little bit awkward. Because, come on, man. They just debuted, like, within a year. It takes a while before a performer is used to performing.
Yeah, it's October 2015. They've 2014.
Been trainees to this point, right? Yeah. And they haven't had a ton of appearances in their first year. Like, they've had some, and they've gotten more and more used to it. But it's still fairly new. And this is their first, like, real concert. So, like, full-length concert. So I expected them to be new to it. And they did feel new to it. And they did an amazing job. But Namjoon struck me because he was confident and calm and natural the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was blown away.
Yeah, and not only that, but he's, like, in leader mode and performer mode because you could see him, like, kind of carrying them and helping them as well.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, this guy.
Yeah.
This Namjoon guy. Yeah, he is so impressive.
Yeah.
Or Red Bullet.
Rap Monster.
Rap Monster.
That's right.
Back when he's Rap Monster. You know, it just reminded me what a, you know, keystone he is for the group. As their leader, as sort of like the idea of Bangtan, Sonia, and Dawn. You know, like he was the idea that they built the group on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You really, I don't know, for me, I'm like, okay, I get what Bang PD was thinking when he met this kid.
When he met Namjoon.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna build a whole empire on the shoulders of this kid.
Yeah.
Because he's powerful.
Yeah.
His charm, his confidence, it's powerful.
Yeah, it's that presence.
Yeah. I was just completely, like, throughout the concert, I'm just like, damn, Namjoon. All of the performances were really great, but, like, I think it's the fact that, like, in the moments that they're not used to, in the moments that get awkward, he's not awkward. He just isn't. He's just a natural. He's calm on the stage. He's confident on the stage. His performances are just mind-blowing. And then, like, in the in-between moments, he's, like, their center. And it just... Man, it's great. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like he even like puts himself out there and like gives us like a special gift later. It's amazing. I'll have to talk about that.
Talk about it, bro.
Right now?
Go ahead.
Secrets. So yeah, it's it's towards the end of the show and they're doing their you know, just ments or whatever. They're doing their thanks and all that. And it's really cool because Namjoon kind of puts himself out there and does this thing where he sings a song or a bit of a song. And it's really cool because it's one of his songs from his mixtape.
Yeah.
And so that was like super awesome and like special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was so great in Red Bullet. I just, Namjoon and his wild blonde hair and like, I don't know. You can tell that he's young, but you just can't not take him seriously. You know, it's impossible. His like stage presence and confidence is so good.
Yeah. And don't worry, there's a few moments in there where you see Kim Namjoon like just being his nerdy self as well.
You get a few nerd moments. Yeah. One of my favorite is when they're doing Blanket Kick.
Yeah.
Which is a hilarious stage anyways, where they're like, there's the point where Yoongi goes on the chair and then the six of them behind him are like dancing with each other, right? Like in pairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's this moment where they're supposed to be like cute with each other.
Or kissing.
Or in Jimin and Hoseok's case, like making out, I guess. Pretend making out behind Yoongi. Jimin and J-Hope were like, we know what to do.
Yeah.
In this moment, we know what to do. But if you watch Namjoon and Jungkook in that moment, it's so funny. Like, Namjoon just like looks at Cookie with his like kind of crazed expression. They're both laughing. Oh my God. It's so funny. It's so funny.
They're like using telepathy. He's like, he's like, don't you do it.
Yeah. Namjoon seems to be saying with his eyes, like, don't get any closer, Jungkook. Yeah. Don't even try it. It's so funny.
That's awesome.
I loved it. That stage is just hilarious where they're doing the little flower pot thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only that, but like Jungkook's like in the bed, like he just pops up.
Oh, my God. It's so cute.
Yeah. But there were some amazing things that I don't remember which song necessarily, but it might have been Blanket Kick, where they make a chair or a throne and Yoongi like jumps up into it. Like they make a chair with their arms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They do it like twice where Yoongi is like in the chair made by members and it's Jimin is holding him both times. Like Jimin's
I think it's one Jimin of the people and making Jin. The
chair.
Yeah.
And I can't tell like what the other person is doing. I guess it's Jin.
Yeah.
But Jimin freaking throws Yoongi both times.
He's like, get
like up. When it's time for Yoongi to get up, he just throws him.
Yeah.
It's super funny.
Well, it's an intense thing. Like there's a lot of that where, I mean, there's a part where Yoongi like steps up on a couple of them, right? Like,
yeah, I think it's like Jungkook and Tae. He steps on their backs.
Namjoon's Tae, right? the first step. So he's the tiny step.
It's Namjoon and probably Jungkook.
And then, yeah, I think it's Jungkook and Tae that are the platform. So Namjoon's like the tiny first step that you can't really see. And then Namjoon...
He's the stepping stool.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, exactly. And he steps on him and then...
And then he gets up on Tae and Jungkook. And it's like he's really standing up there.
Yeah.
They do a lot of wild stuff. Like, there's this one moment where the backup dancers, like, kind of pick Jimin up and help him jump. Oh. And Jimin is like 10 feet in the air.
No, they like fly him around the stage, like on an airplane. They
throw him.
Oh, yeah.
They throw him, and he's like, he's jumping, and then he lands, but he jumps so high.
Oh, yeah. But then there's another part where they just pick him up and like airplane him around.
Oh, yeah.
Above their shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. They just lift him like he's body surfing.
Yeah. And then also,
Jimin does a lot of acrobatics.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's still fun to throw around, I guess, right?
But he knows how to do that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
He's got the dance and the martial arts background. So like they put in tricks done by Jimin like throughout the stage.
Oh, yeah. He's very acrobatic.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, the other thing I noticed about Jimin, now that we're on that topic, is, like, his dancing is, like, perfection. Like, perfection. This, it's, like, so good that, like, when you are able to see Jimin and doing these moves, he's so tight. Like, his moves are so tight and perfect and, like, seamless. I was just blown away.
Oh, yeah. And another part with J-Hope was doing that with me, where he would just, like, every now and again, just snap my eyes to him because his movements were so, like, crisp.
So crisp.
Yeah.
J-Hope and Jimin's dancing in this is, like, they are just on a different level when it comes to dance. And you can really tell in this moment, which is hard because they practice so much that they're, like, really, really in tight formation and really, really in sync.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about the early days is, like, they were working them so hard that when you look at, like, a choreography for a particular song, it's kind of like they're all perfect. It's really hard to see the difference between them because they all are working so hard and dancing so hard. But I think that because this performance is so long, that's where the really pro dancers kind of come forward.
Yeah, because they got that endurance and muscle memory.
It's like because Jimin in the first song and Jimin in the last song are as tight and perfect. And that's what's crazy.
Yeah.
Is like, you can tell how exhausted they are. This set list was not messing around.
It was long.
It was so long.
Yeah.
And like, there were so few breaks. Like, the VCRs were really short.
Yeah, they had a few of those and then a few moments.
But super, super short.
Oh, yeah. And then a few moments where they talked, but they talked super short, too.
They talked, like, one or two sentences each. I mean, they were not, they didn't do that thing that they do in later concerts where they, like, really take a moment to, like, talk to ARMY and kind of, you know, take a breath that they do in the other concerts. So that part of it, like, the talking to the audience and the sharing their feelings about things wasn't really happening. They're doing that really, really condensed, which meant that they spent most of 2 hours and 10 minutes dancing their butts off.
Yeah. And that was really cool to see. I don't know. Red Bullet is so early, right? So you get to see a lot of things like performances and songs that you don't necessarily get to see later. Like, they'll still do some of the, you know, bigger ones like Danger or anything like that, but it's
Boy
cool.
In Love. Like, yeah, what's awesome about BTS is they never drop their earlier stuff completely.
Yeah, like their title tracks or whatever, but I loved Rain.
Oh, Rain was amazing.
Yeah.
I loved Rain.
It was so awesome.
I loved Like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, and that was a moment of whiplash because we're like, We're loving Like, and it's just so fun and cute. And then, boom, right into Cypher 3.
Cypher 3. It's like, oh, we're not ready.
What? Yeah, it was intense.
And then Supreme Boy.
Oh, that was so cool.
It was so cool.
He just, like, runs out. Like, at first I thought it was Tay. Because, you know, Tay has a thing where he runs out.
Where he runs out with the rap lines performing.
But it was so cool to see Supreme Boy out there. And another special cameo. Do you remember?
Absolutely, I remember. You it was so it. Amazing. I totally spotted him.
It was so awesome.
I was like, that is Sunduk right there. Yeah. Sunduk is one of their backup dancers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really cool to see.
Yeah, yeah. No, I recognized him right off.
Yeah. I mean, what are some of the other things they did? The backup dancers like made a basketball hoop out of themselves.
And J-Hope like did the basket.
Like dunked it, yeah.
That was so cool. Like, man, their choreography was so wild back then.
Yeah, they just had fun, too.
Lots of fun, but also, like, really technical, really intense, really difficult.
And lots of, like, build-up, like the song where they create a car, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just making shapes with their bodies and, like, storytelling through dance. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
I love it so much. Man, it's really fun. But I feel like what's nice is like who kind of what you're seeing about them at that point. you know, and who they become later. Like, to me, it's just sort of like, seeing baby Tay just kills me. Because I feel like Tay recently has become this sort of like amazing idol, like real, kind of like the perfect famous idol, and that he's funny and charming, but then he can be so elegant and intense, and he's almost like a model. He's just figured out how to be like this incredible famous idol, beautiful person, right? There's just something about him that's just elegant and intense and reminds me of old Hollywood. I could just see him do anything because he's Kim Tae-hyung.
Well, that's the thing, is like there's this level of like class and elegance.
Yes, yeah. Right? Like it, you can just tell by looking at him. And it's so impressive. And seeing him back then when he's a baby. I get that he's like 19 or whatever, but he looks so young, and that he's figuring it out. And it's just the most endearing thing. I was just dying.
Well, yeah. And that's
so cute.
That's the thing, is like when we were watching School Love Affair, he's very much like right next to Suga all the time.
All the time, because he's so shy. It's the cutest thing.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's a lot more confident.
Yeah.
He's a lot more confident in himself, but he's just like, he's always smiling and he's like having fun.
Yeah.
And he's so playful. It's just incredibly endearing.
Yeah. One of the things that was cool was I feel like this concert, or, you know, this set of shows, they did three nights, was like,
well, they did other nights in other countries too.
Yeah, yeah.
They did three nights in Seoul, and then they did.
But this was like the kickoff of the Red Bullet.
Yeah,
and so
it was a short tour, though. It was small.
Yeah, and I really feel like this was the first time where Jimin kind of like fell in love with concerts and performing.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he really talked about it at the end about like, hey, this is pretty awesome. So I really like that moment.
Oh, he shined. He shined so well. He did such a good job. His singing was amazing. His dancing was on another level.
Yeah.
Jimin was incredible. And it's funny because he looks so young. You know, he still had those little mochi cheeks. So it's easy to take someone who looks that young not as seriously. But that's what's great when they prove it to you.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I may look like an adorable child, but I am a talented man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I buy it.
Yeah, like where he randomly just does like an inverted backflip.
Oh my God.
Like one legged.
He didn't look tired even at the end. Like, I'm just so blown away by him.
I mean, that's what's cool, is like they put on like a 2-hour show, and when they come back for the encore stage, it's just like crazy, chaotic, wild, you know, dark and wild BTS, and they're just partying.
They have so much energy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's amazing.
So insane. They give such a good show. All seven of them are like performers. They're performers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're the kind of musicians where you're like, you have to see them on stage. Okay, now I'm just going to start getting upset because I haven't seen them on stage and I'm only watching videos. And I just have to feel my feelings for a second.
That's cool. We still got our tickets.
man. I need it to happen in reality, guys. I need it to happen in reality. Okay. Yeah, I'm better.
I mean, didn't BTS say just one day?
I need it to happen, Rocky. Rocky, I need it to happen. It may be that if they give their first concert in like Madagascar, you are going to find that we have tickets to go to Madagascar. Like wherever they're going to be, if they're going to perform live in front of human beings, I need to be one of those human beings. Okay. I just need you to know that, you know, like if we need to remortgage the house or something, because we have to like get first class tickets to Korea, because that's a long flight.
Yeah,
I'm just saying first class might be worth it.
Yeah. And if we can't like get tickets, we'll like, I don't know, like skydive into the concert.
Into the concert. Yeah. Figure out some kind of elaborate way of getting in.
Yeah.
Dude, it needs to happen. And here's the problem, though. All ARMY is going to feel like we do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And ARMY is so big. they're all going to want to do it. Like that first, the first live show that BTS performs is going to be impossible to get. It's going to be impossible.
Not only that, but it is going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. People are going to be melting down.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for too long. We've been anticipating it for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine the, like, you know how for GA, they all wait in line and then they like run to get their place? Mm. That's going to be like a battle.
Not only that, but Namjoon, like, at the end of every song, he'll be like, no pushing.
Stop pushing.
No pushing.
Stop killing each other so you can get closer to us. There's already been 15 deaths so far, guys, so we need to tone it down a little bit. I just don't know what that first concert's going to be like, but I know it's going to be wild.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I was thinking that was an amazing thing in Red Bullet. I think Namjoon said, like, no pushies.
No pushing.
Yeah.
He's been doing it the whole time.
Yeah.
He's never stopped doing that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just something that you can count on from Namjoon. He's going to tell ARMY to no pushing, please. And you know it's bad if he's telling the Korean audience to no pushing. Because Korean artists, audiences, they're like, they're sitting in chairs and they're all like rhythmically shaking their light sticks, like in time. Like they look like such a polite audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I just compared that in my mind to like American audiences or Latin American audiences.
Yeah.
European audiences.
Or Japanese.
Well, the Japanese is almost on the other end of the spectrum. Like, I've never seen an audience move so little as a Japanese audience.
No, but they are super in sync.
They're super in sync.
Yeah.
They're super in sync, but they're extremely polite.
And, yeah, and reserved. And
They don't, like, dance and jump around. Whereas American audiences, they're, like, moshing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Drinking beer and moshing at the same time.
And flip, like, they're dancing and they're up on their feet and they're wild.
Yeah.
Personally, I like a wild audience. I like it a little bit wild. That's what I want to do. I want us to fly. The first time they go to South America again, I think we got to go.
Well, no, that's the thing. When we saw their Sao Paulo performance, it is
that
just,
crowd,
like, on a different level.
That,
like,
crowd is so cool.
Yeah.
That crowd is like the coolest.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I think that's like as a performer, they love that.
I bet.
Right? The amount of energy they're getting back.
I want to be an audience member with that crowd, right?
Yeah.
Like I want to be in that crowd because that crowd has fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Their Latin American shows are amazing.
Yeah.
And their American shows look really amazing too. Though, as Americans, we know Americans can be a little cringy.
I mean, at this point, we're just like, you know what? Any show.
I mean, just literally, I would live in a dumpster for a week if I got to see BTS in person after it. Like,
what
I would live
dumpster?
In a dumpster for a month.
Like a recycle bin?
Like a really gross one.
Like a
really gross,
food
nasty
waste dumpster?
Food waste dumpster. If I got to see BTS at the end of it, come on, man. I would do anything. This is crazy. I don't even know if it feels like it'll ever happen. But that's just like... That's just 2020 speaking. Ignore.
Yeah. This is 2021. It's a whole new year.
It's a whole new year. Things are going to get better. It's going to take a long time. We will see BTS in person. Okay? Let's believe together.
Yeah.
My dearest podcast friends. We believe together we're going to see BTS in person and it's going to be beautiful and it will live in our hearts forever. Do not worry.
Yeah, and until then, we will watch every single concert.
Every single concert. Man, it's so fun.
Yeah.
I love watching concerts together and just having that fun.
It's just kind of special. You turn off the lights, you crank it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really love it. And it's like better than going out to the movies. It's better than like...
What's going out to the movies?
I know. That was a thing that people did in the past. It's just... It's a different kind of experience. And I've never not liked it, you know? It's never not been, like, a really amazing night.
Yeah.
And Red Bullet lives up to it. Like, do I like everything that happened after? Like, yes, of course.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wings is still my favorite concert. I'm sorry. It just always will be. It's just perfection. But, like, was Red Bullet like one of the most amazing things I've seen? Yes. That's what's crazy. It's so good. We just have this wealth of amazing content. And Red Bullet is like, I love seeing it. And I love watching the documentary first and then like kind of seeing it in time. Seeing their growth slowly over time is so fun. And I want to, I really hope that this documentary series continues because it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're making it, like, they're just doing such a professional job.
Now, I will say one thing that we both thought was interesting is, like, the way they name the episodes. They're kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
Right?
Because they're, like, I like the way they're doing it, but then they're using the word, like, persona.
I think episode 7's persona.
But it's like, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do later?
So, I mean,
it's... Use it up, that name. Come on, guys.
It makes it interesting, I think.
No, it's true. But if they use up all the good names now, what are they going to name their episodes when they get to, the, you know, 2019? What are you going to do? So we'll see. Yeah. They're going to have to get creative.
That's the thing. As a programmer, I think it correlates to other things as well. But naming things is rough.
You're such a nerd.
I can't help it. But I will say this one thing about BTS that I've said before is I'm always impressed. Usually you look at an artist's earlier stuff and you're like, that's okay or whatever, but like I'm still blown away by their earlier stuff.
It's not like you watch their earlier stuff and you're like, oh, that's cringe, like I can't wait till it gets better later.
Like, it might be cringe for them,
definitely, right? And I'm sure it is, and it definitely does get better later. Yeah. But like, it doesn't mean that it's not good, because it's actually really good.
Yeah,
like the Cypher performance.
Oh my god.
Hip Hop File. Seriously, the rap performances by the Rap Line in Red Bullet are like really amazing.
They are insane. Like, J-Hope is a killer.
That's who really, like, I knew that Namjoon and Yoongi would be good because Namjoon and Yoongi were performing hip hop before BTS.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had years of experience. So I was expecting them to be good, and they were freaking amazing.
Yeah.
J-Hope, though. J-Hope had just started, so I expected him to be a little awkward.
Yeah, no.
And he wasn't.
Killed it.
He killed it.
Yeah.
He killed it as a rapper. Like, killed it.
Yeah.
I was so blown away by him. Because he'd been doing it for the shortest amount of time.
Yeah. And you're like, how's this possible?
How's it possible that J-Hope's that talented?
Yeah. God damn it. Or whatever.
You're every time you see J-Hope dance, you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That J-Hope, though. Yeah. All of them were just like so good. I will say, you can tell that this is like, Jungkook is still pretty shy.
Mm.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that like, he's like, when the attention's on him, when he's at the center, he does great. But anytime it's not, he kind of like, you can tell that he kind of fades into the background. Like, it's, I think it must be hard to have so many songs kind of focused on him, right? God, it's such a big responsibility for their youngest member to carry so much of like the center position and main vocalist. Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that if it was anyone besides Jungkook, if it was someone who was really used to the idea of being an idol, they would be like trying to maximize that position. They would trying to be drawing attention to themselves. Like, and what I mean by that, I don't mean that in a negative way, but just like a performer, when they like are the center of attention, they like maximize that moment, right? That's when they bring out like their charm.
Hmm.
Right. And I think performers learn how to do that, how to like bring out their charm when attention is focused on them. And Jungkook, I don't think is doing that at this point. He's too young and he's too inexperienced. So he's doing a really good job, but it's almost like he can't wait for the attention to be off of him.
Well, yeah, and he's definitely...
That's the feeling I got.
Yeah, and he's definitely in that mode where he's still, like, sucking up so much data and, like, information from the other members, like, seeing how they're doing it.
Yeah.
And all that, right? Because they have maybe more experience, but I really like...
He's only 17.
Yeah, I really like Jin as well. I felt Jin had a similar kind of situation where he looked maybe nervous or something.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he spoke, it all just melted away. And you're like, wow, Jin, that's amazing.
I think you can really tell in the early days how important it was that Jin was one of their members, because his feeling, like the feeling that he gives off, is totally opposite than the rest of them. And it's so needed. And it's this feeling of like calm, like sweet energy.
Yeah, yeah.
He is comforting.
Yeah, and it's soothing and relaxing.
Stable.
Yeah.
He is like the Hung in this really comforting, kind way. And it just, he just makes everything feel nicer. I don't know. He's such a comfort. And I love that. And that was really important to shaping BTS over time, right? Is that they're not just like, they're not going to be hard, right? They're not going to be hip hop hard about everything. They're going to figure out how to be soft too. And this is back in the day before they've really balanced that out.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the thing is like, so he is definitely helping to, you know, move towards that balance.
Yeah. And this is the point at which, like, I think that the things that I am most critical about the early days is the balance between the members, and the ability of the group to let the members be who they are.
Yeah. And that's what's so amazing about Jin, because we've seen, you know, other concerts as well, that he actually calls that out. Like, he's always kind of been the one that call things out. So later, and I think the HYYH concert series, he actually calls out like, oh, maybe we need bigger parts or something, like on stage. So it was pretty awesome.
And yeah, and so like, I feel like this concert for Jin is like, they're not giving him a lot of room to be Jin in BTS.
Yeah.
They're giving him room to be a member of BTS, but not himself. And that took time for him to figure out who he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And for the group and the company to give him room to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this amazing, like the Jin that we know now has yet to be revealed at this point. You know, we don't get the Jin that we know now. And this was part of the process of him figuring it out. And I just, it just makes me so happy that they got to that point.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a fair criticism, but I feel like other groups don't really resolve those issues of having the balance be really skewed.
That's true, because I mean, it is kind of a risk. Like, are we going to actually take away from our star and like allow these other people to like become polished and work on something so they can come up to our star's level? You know, it's like a risk.
Well, the risk is like, maybe what people like about the group is they like this one person.
Yeah.
They like the person that you're putting at the center of the group. And maybe the other people aren't as appealing. So if you give them space and time to be themselves, what if they're not as appealing as the person that is kind of in the lead or in the limelight?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to say, but I love that BTS was like, made it a value of theirs early on, when they were still struggling with whether how successful they were going to be, to let each of their members shine and let them shine in different ways. And I think the time that they really took that to heart, like the company took it to heart and the group took it to heart, was Wings. I feel like Wings was the time when you have real balance.
Yeah.
In the music, and in the letting each of them shine in different ways.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you haven't yet, check out Wings.
Oh my God. Every time, Emily. I know, guys. I know I'm a little obsessed. I mean, that's what's sort of fun about watching earlier concerts, is like comparing and contrasting to the stuff that's your favorite. Because it both, you can appreciate the earlier stuff more because you're like, yes, they had a ways to go, but the foundation is there. It's like, it's not like it's at 1%. It's like at 70%. And they haven't reached the perfection that is Wings. But they're on their way. And you see why you would support this group if you've only seen this from them. Like, if this is all you knew about BTS was this concert, you'd be blown away.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be fans.
Yeah. And one of the amazing things is also history. You have whatever, wherever you come in as ARMY, you get this like wealth of like things to go back and look at. And one of the things that is amazing about that is you're like, oh, that's where that came from.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
The origin story. So
I
like
love that.
One of the amazing things, and I wouldn't say it's the first time, but this is their first concert. So seeing them come out and they rock it and then they do their introductions and seeing Suga take his earpiece out. Yeah, and hear them scream.
The crowd.
And it's just so amazing.
It's like the first time it happens. It's so, and then he does that forever after. Oh my God, I love that moment.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
Oh, that was so cool. What other things were like, I mean, there was just so many, such great performances, such intense choreography, like one after the other, like how did they have this much energy? It's insane. Like
yeah.
It's exhausting. You watch that concert and you're like, I'm exhausted. I didn't move. But like, damn, they have like almost no breaks in this.
Yeah, exactly. There's only
no like, solo songs.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you said, there's only a few times where they split from vocal line to rap line.
And they don't even have, is there even one song that the vocal line does alone?
Yeah, there is.
I think there's just one. So they do one rap line song, which is Cypher 3.
Yeah, and they did Cypher 2 as well.
But they have the whole, everybody's on stage at that time. So there's only one time when like the vocal line's not there on the stage.
Yeah.
And then there's one song where the vocal line is alone. But we're used to these concerts where they all have solo songs, where we have like vocal line and rap line songs, where they take breaks off stage. They have no breaks in this, basically.
Yeah. And they get the VCRs.
And the really short, they get the longer VCRs. It's a pretty tough concert. And man, they did so well. They worked so hard. And what's nice about seeing them work hard is not like, oh, you know, we can talk about how they're hard workers and that's like such a value, but it that's not what it is for me. For me, it's like passion.
Yeah.
You can see that this is what they want to do. This is what they fell in love with that kept them going.
Yeah. And like you almost like see it as they're doing it on the stage. It's so cool.
Yeah. It's really cool. So fun. And we're just super excited about this documentary and like learning more.
That's really cool too, because like I said, it's about that origin story and learning the story of BTS and so yeah, the rise of Bangtan, super awesome.
Really, I'm really excited about it. Like I'm looking forward to the episodes now because I feel like they're filling in so much of my knowledge.
Exactly. And there's some like rare footage. I'm like, what?
Yeah, just stuff I've never seen before. And like it's such a great story. I mean, that's one of the things about being ARMY is there's this narrative of BTS. And when people try to tell us that the narrative of BTS is like K-pop was rising and BTS just happened to be the group that rose to the top above the other K-pop groups and talks about their success and their wealth. That is not our narrative. Our narrative is of weird K-pop idol group experiment happened from a tiny company that had no resources and no support and managed to become this successful due to this, due to concerts like this, due to them like just giving the most intense, passionate performance they could to a small audience of people who told their friends and told other people and hyped them up.
And really showed how, like, it is because of ARMY, because they didn't have the money for the promotions and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
You could have an okay fandom to a group that has, like, infinite resources. And even if they're a talented, great group, the fandom doesn't have to do the heavy lifting, right? The company can. Money can.
Mm.
The whole thing with BTS, they didn't have the money. They didn't have the leg up. They didn't have any super connections. In fact, they had a severe lack of connections, which really was detrimental to them. And yet they rose up. Only because ARMY was so into them.
Yeah.
Noticed that they were special. And that's such a cool narrative.
Yeah.
And it's a true one. Like, what's crazy is when you hear these sort of like the underdog stories, sometimes those are really exaggerated, you know, like, oh, this person didn't have much and then they rose to stardom. We love the underdog story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The American rags to riches.
Rags to riches. I mean, we're into that story. So sometimes when you examine those stories from artists you like, you realize it wasn't that dramatic as maybe people characterize it to be. They want it to be that narrative. And maybe that's what people think about BTS, but it's the opposite. The more you look into it, the more you're like, how did they ever become popular? Like, it's so wild that they did. They really did have, like, terrible luck in the beginning and just no help getting there. It's actually mind-boggling that they got popular as they did. And you know it's because of ARMY.
That's the power of ARMY.
That's the power of ARMY. And it was making me kind of emotional. Like, I want to go find these 2013 ARMY and just give them a hug and some chocolates or something. Like,
yeah.
I love you. Thank you. Thank you for working so hard for them.
And then also become a time traveler. And
to be that ARMY?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's, I definitely want that.
Might be paradoxical, though.
It's incredible. I love that what ARMY loved about BTS was the things that I find really, really valuable. Like, I like that ARMY had good taste. They had good taste in these boys who are, like, so earnest. So, like, so good at expressing themselves on the stage. So intense and hardworking, but also very, like, genuine.
Well, that's the thing is, like, lots of times with the American rags to riches story, we idolize these people, but then they turn out to kind of be bad people or whatever. They're kind of narcissistic.
Is there, like, any famous Americans left at this point?
And so that's one of the
that
cool...
aren't, like, horrible monsters.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I found so special about BTS is, like, wow, they're all so good people. This is crazy.
It's kind of, like, hard for us to believe because we're living in America and we're cynical for good reason. Like, we're not cynical, like, as a character flaw, just as a nation. We are cynical because we have a lot of crap to be cynical about, right? Because we've found out that all of our heroes are actually monsters over and over and over again, and we're bummed out about it. BTS, like, helps me believe in things.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe some people who say they're nice actually are nice people. Like, I need to know that that's still true.
Yeah.
I need there to be good people in this world.
Yeah, it's weird, like, BTS bringing hope back to the world, you know?
Like, single-handedly, seriously.
Yeah.
2020, the positive, rosy part of 2020 was almost exclusively BTS. I mean, let's be real.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Baby
the rise
BTS.
Of Bangtan, man.
Oh, yeah. Rise of Bangtan and Red Bullet. Treat yourself to some baby BTS. You will not be disappointed.
That's right.
Thank you.